Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Some black uniform, like the problem is, like, you have, like, the Raiders have one of the all-time great uniforms.
Great!
Like, black and silver.
Great uniform.
But I do think, in general, we have more bad black uniforms than we have good ones.
Yes. Well, people try to force black uniforms because for a while, it was like, it was all the rage. Everybody had to have a black uniform.
Everybody had to have a black alternate.
Yep. And I it doesn't always work.
I would argue most times it doesn't.
You know what I didn't mind was the Colts wearing their black helmets, the all blue and black helmets of the day.
I
didn't hate it.
There was too many shades of, like, blue numbers on blue uniforms. I will never.
No.
Like, I can't. No. I can't do that.
I can't do it.
Like, the Giants, just stick with the uniforms from the 80s.
Yeah.
Giants, like, the darker helmet, like the Giants.
How did that happen, though, with a darker helmet, a different color blue from the helmet and the jersey?
Oh, I'm sure it happened the same way it happened at Ole Miss, that way powder blue became a thing.
Oh.
Rydell painted the helmets incorrectly, and nobody wanted to pay to send it back.
Really?
Yep.
And then it just stuck.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. True story.
Wow, that's incredible. Sometimes you have happy accidents like that, I guess. Sometimes they aren't happy accidents, but they stick.
Sometimes it's just like
financial accidents.
Correct.
Financial accidents. All right. Man, we're not gonna get to Chris Harrington at 10 o'clock, but we're gonna say we're doing it straight up at 10 o'clock.
Here.
It's tradition here. It's like being late to the party.
Yes.
Or like, you know, when the band says they're starting at 10.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really starting at 10. They're gonna try to get close, but they're not starting right on time.
Depending on how old they are.
When we come back, we're going to do Chris Harrington and talk to him about the Grizzlies' big old win in Utah last night. And then later in the hour, we have Sam Hardiman. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show. I'm JR Moore. You can call me JR or Justin. However, whichever way you know me, that's the way you can call me. I'm perfectly happy with either one. I'm JR Moore filling in. That's Jeffrey right across the glass. You're listening to 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Good morning, Chris. What are we listening to today?
That is, of course, the most pious and traditional of holiday songs, Christmas in Hollis by Run.
Love it. Oh, did we lose him? Where's he at?
I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Tell us again. We lost you right there in Christmas in Hollis.
Yeah, Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Love it. That's a classic. That's definitely classic. Do you or your family have any Christmas movie traditions or Christmas Eve traditions you do, like involving whether it be a record you listen to or a movie you watch every year?
Listen to some Christmas music while decorating the tree, and we'll make hot cocoa while decorating the tree. That's the thing we do. And we like to do a Christmas movie, just me and my wife and the kids, not necessarily the same thing all the time. We did The Holdovers this year, which our kids have never seen.
Right.
Yeah. From a couple years ago, Paul Giamatti, and, it's set in a New England prep school in the 70s, and he's the teacher in charge of the kids who don't get to go home for Christmas break, and they're sort of all stuck together. It's quite good if people haven't seen it.
I have not seen that. I feel like I need to add that to the list. My list is ever growing, and I never have time to watch any of these movies.
I think it's on Peacock.
Oh, okay. All right. That sounds awesome. Chris, did you get a chance to watch the Grizzlies last night?
I did. I was on that game. Drew and I split off these two back-to-back road games.
Oh,
I was
nice.
On last night. And it was a revenge game.
Sure
for
was.
The Grizzlies, after losing to the Jazz a couple weeks ago, they got their revenge. It was a good night. I mean, you had three different players who either hit or tied career highs: Santi Aldama in points, Cam Spencer in assists, Jalen Wells in steals. I thought Jaren was good on both ends, as he's been in all the wins lately, not necessarily the losses. But the most notable night, I thought, was Gigi Jackson.
I cannot believe I asked you about this yesterday brought up Gigi.
We willed it into existence.
We really did. It's incredible. It was incredible. Like, I feel like there have been so many injuries on the team this year, and they've been getting hardship exceptions and playing everybody except Gigi Jackson. And I was like, Chris, what is going on? And this dude comes in and starts and has a great game.
Yeah, he had gotten back into the mix the game before, coming off the bench, and then – I think in response to the Brandon injury, the John Carter injury, the injuries are finally starting to catch up enough that Gigi was a chance. But then game of the season sort of opened up the opportunity even more, and he really seized it. He was efficient with his opportunity, hit the board hard, and played within the flow of the team. And it was a positive night for Gigi. Hopefully something he can build on.
I hope it is. There is something about watching him play. There's something fun. I don't know what it is, except that whether it's youthfulness or just he is athletic and long and can just do things that other dudes don't do. And you just want it. I find myself cheering for him for it to work more than I do other guys that are like kind of bench guys. You know what I mean?
Well, they don't have. I mean, I talked a little bit yesterday about how I think his lateral quickness is not quite what people think, and that's sort of a hindrance on defense. But he does have the vertical sort of explosiveness and the strength, and you saw that a few times in that game, particularly late. We came down the middle of the lane, did a little Euro step, kept the ball high, just went up over the top with it.
Yep.
And the Grizzlies don't have a lot of guys to do that. Even guys like Coward and Jaren, who, you know, are better players overall, and they can certainly, like, you know, get down the lane and get to the rim. They're not really as vertically explosive in terms of going up over the top and dunking. You don't see that as much with those guys, really.
Right.
And so, like, that does add a dimension that is not – it's not the team does not have a lot of those two things together. That's a good recipe. And, you know, he rebounded last night. The defense was not, to me, didn't jump out positive or negative really either way, but like, you know, you win the game, he put up good production. And I do think, you know, Coward hopefully will not be out long. We'll see. But Brandon Clark's going to be out at least 3 weeks. And we've reached the point, unfortunately, with Brandon Clark, where you just assume he's not playing unless he is. You assume he's not playing, and you're glad if he does. And so Brandon Clark being basically out does open up a lane for G.G. Jackson if he can start stringing together some good play. Like, that's a rotation spot he could seize potentially.
It does feel like that, that you don't have an opinion on Gigi's defense last night is probably a positive in his favor, that you didn't notice him. That means that's an improvement.
It didn't jump out as a problem. I will say, like, the team defense was not particularly good last night. I think Jaren and Jalen had lots of individual good defensive plays.
Sure.
Jaren to chase down blocks and Jalen Wells had some of those just ripaway steals. But on the whole, like, they won that game with offense, you know? I mean, they gave up a lot of points to the Jazz.
That's true.
So that was not a great team defensive night for the Grizzlies. But there was nothing that jumped out as a problem specifically from GG or from any other individual player.
It is. Jeffrey and I were talking about this earlier. As good as they played offensively, it was a little, like, it was a little scary that the game was not, like, a lock at any point. I was still nervous in the fourth quarter, and I was like, these dudes are shooting well, they're playing well, like, guys you don't expect to be scoring, and yet we're not pulling away from these dudes. It made me a little bit more nervous than I wanted to, so I guess you can...
Well, I feel like that Utah team has been a little bit better than people thought they were going to be.
Yep.
Like, they're still sniffing around. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I feel like this is true. I feel like on the season... They're bad on defense, but they're actually not a bad offensive team. Like, that is a pretty decent offensive team. That's a well-coached team. And, you know, I think you would like to see the Grizzlies be better defensively overall. But, like, the Grizzlies' defense got better and then got worse again based upon Zach Edey being with the team or not with
right.
the team. That's sort of been the up.
Yeah, that makes a pretty big difference. Do you think, regarding Cedric Coward, do you think this soreness is something to worry about? Because some, you know, Grizzlies' soreness and questionable turns into, you know, reevaluated in 8 weeks out of nowhere. And so, do you think it's just like night off, or what is that?
I have no information beyond what has been public on that, so I don't know. And to your point, like, the Grizzlies' injury stuff is such that you don't want to go too far down the road making declarations about what's going to happen with it. He was on the injured list as questionable, which suggested maybe it wasn't, at least initially, they didn't think it was that serious, so maybe it's still not. It was the second night of a back-to-back, and so this is a guy who hasn't missed a game all season. He's a rookie. They're probably concerned about the accumulation
right.
of wear and tear with him as someone who basically didn't play college basketball last season, hasn't gone through this kind of thing. So it's quite possible it's just a minor soreness thing, and they're just being careful with it. It's possible it's more than that. I do not know. I'll be interested to see what happens when the injury report comes out for Friday's game.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, this is, like, game-wise, it's almost the equivalent of an entire college season, which he didn't even play one of those last year. So I guess I can see where you'd be cautious with just – I mean, Zach Edey never got hurt in college, and now, you know, put him on an NBA schedule, and it's a whole different animal.
Yeah, and so we'll see. I mean, there are a sort of group of guys on that team who've been durable all season. That was the first game all season Cedric Coward has missed. You know, Jalen Wells has not missed a game. Santi has not missed a game. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope The veteran has not missed a game.
How about that?
Jaron's only missed a couple games. And the only game Cam Spencer's missed was personal reasons. It was not injury related. So, you know, you do have a group of guys who have been pretty durable, and you hope, you know, that at least those guys can try to stay that way.
You got to hope so. I asked Jeffrey this earlier, too, in the first hour. This is not Grizzlies related. This is more Jazz related. That Jazz is a good fan base. And how long can they keep doing this to their fans? Like, when are they going to put the pedal down to be like, all right, it's time to be good?
This is something that you can lament the Grizzlies have never, you know, they've won, I guess, 5 playoff series in franchise history. They never won a game beyond the second round. But on the other end of the spectrum, the Grizzlies have never had a failed rebuild or the endless rebuild. Like, it's always been, like, you know, 3 years basically left between eras.
Right.
So they've never gone through the we're in the wilderness for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So that happens. I mean, you go through teams that go through multiple failed rebuilds, and you try to rebuild, and it fails, you start all over again with your rebuild, like Sacramento and whatever. And that's the kind of thing the Grizzlies fans have never really had to go through. I hope they don't, because I just don't know how you know, given the market size, how that would be dealt with. But it's been long enough for Utah, I would say. I mean, this is a franchise, to your point. I mean, they were in the NBA Finals twice with Stockton Malone. Had good teams in the Darren Williams, Carlos Boozer, Andre Kirilenko era. They had a really good team that Grizzlies lost to in the playoffs with Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
And it's sort of time to get back to that. And they just have this decision to make with Lauri Markkanen. Like, are they going forward with him, or are they moving him? They have not had the lottery luck. I will say that. Like, they have not drafted great with what they've had.
Yep.
They had the pick right after Zach Edey and took Cody Williams, who's done nothing. But these bad seasons have not yielded like the top three pick for them in any of these drafts.
It just feels like, and maybe this is, I'm just not remembering this correctly, but it just up until these last, I don't know, 5 years, it feels like the Jazz have always just been pretty good. Like, not NBA Finals worthy, but they just always been good.
Yeah. It felt like, I think when Danny Ainge came in, he had more of a tank mindset, of a, like, you know, that kind of build strategy.
Yep.
I think prior to that, Utah and all Indiana has been in the East.
Yeah.
Where their goal is just to try to be good, and you hope, like, you know, the right luck and the right decisions line up to make you really good, but you're not trying to tank for, you know, this may be a gap year difference with Indiana this year, but generally speaking, like, the Indiana team never bottomed out to try to go find the star. They just kept trying to be good, and they ended up trading their way into Tyrese Halliburton and trading their way into Pascal Siakam. And, you know, you get Aaron Naismith with a later pick.
Sure.
And, like, you know, that's been more the route they've tried to go.
I mean, I can appreciate that the Grizzlies, even though that they have disagree with some of these strategies, they have just tried to, all right, even we got to restructure some things, but we're not going to just like tear it down to restructure. We're going to try to remain competitive and grow that way. And as frustrating as that sometimes can be, I do appreciate not being the Washington Wizards or this latest iteration of the Jazz.
I suspect the Grizzlies look at like that Pacers approach and that's sort of what they want to do.
Yep.
I also think they were probably hoping to have their cake and eat it too.
True.
And to try to conduct themselves like that and then get the high draft pick with that pick in the Bane trade that's probably coming from Phoenix.
That's not going to happen.
Now it looks like it's going to be more of a late lottery pick.
What
now,
a bummer.
Not a high lottery pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a bummer. That is, I think we call that Grizzlies misfortune. That it feels like that's one of those bad luck things that you go, oh, of course it happens to us, even though it probably happens to other people. It feels like it always happens to us, where you feel like, we did it right. We finally got lucky. And then, you know, the other team's good and doesn't help you out. So I saw that you released another column on the Grizzlies 25. This one is OJ Mayo at number 16. Man, tell us about I remember OJ. I liked watching OJ. Tell us about some stuff about OJ Mayo.
OJ was good. I mean, he finished second rookie of the year that year in a strong rookie class to Derrick Rose. Was a quality starter for 2 years and then shifted to the bench, and he was a quality six man for a couple years. But it was a star-crossed tenure in all kinds of ways. I mean, from the suspension, substance-related suspension to the fight on the plane with Tony Allen, to, like, they tried to trade him for a mid-first round pick that ended up in San Antonio and turned into Kawhi Leonard.
I mean,
the fax was late, and the trade for OJ Mayo was a source of a lot of tension within the front office,
sure,
and the front end, because a lot of people wanted to just keep Kevin Love, which in retrospect would have been a better move probably, although you wonder what the trickle down of that is.
You don't get Zach Randolph
if you do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right. So there was a lot of stuff there with OJ in a short amount of time, but he was good. He was good for 4 years. He still stacks up pretty high on the franchise rankings and points and three-pointers and steals and lots of other stuff. He's a good player. Didn't have a long career.
Why did his career seem like he was, even though he wasn't the star that everybody thought he or hoped he would be, because, you know, with the amount of how famous he was before, you know, coming into the draft and all, it seemed like he was going to be a superstar. Or at least just the hype around it seemed that way, even though, if you really dug into it, it didn't hold up. But, like, it seemed like he should have been in the league for 15 years as a good player.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things with OJ. One is that I think he was not truly the level prospect coming into the league that he was touted to be.
Right.
I think he's someone who peaked. He developed early physically. Like early in high school, he was ahead of a lot of players of his class.
Sure.
And by the time he got to the pro level, those guys had caught up with him physically, and he was a good athlete, but he was not a great athlete. He had good size. He did not have great size. Like when he was like a sophomore in high school, it was almost like he was LeBron or something.
Right.
By the time he
had
NBA, he was not that, you know? So I think that's part of it. I think he developed early, and I think the reality of him as a prospect was below his reputation.
Sure.
But he was still a good player. And then once he got into the league, I just think he just had problems. He had, you know, he failed the test. When I say substance, I don't want to get into the details, but it wasn't like, you know, it was like performance enhancing kind of stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And so he failed one of those and had a suspension in Memphis. And then it hit him again in Milwaukee a couple stops later. He ended up getting, you know, banned from the league for a year and just went and played overseas and never came back.
It's just wild. I encourage everybody to go to Daily Memphian and read this one. I read it right before we got on, or right before you got on the air. It's his story is like, it's just a short amount of time. There's a lot there. It's not just like a bland NBA story. There's so much there with this guy, with his career. It's kind of wild. Oop, did I lose you?
Yeah, you've been breaking up a little bit.
Oh yes,
I really lost you that time.
Oh yeah, sorry. I was saying it's kind of wild. I encourage everybody to go read your story, because there's a lot going on there. Like, it's a pretty wild story, and a lot happened in this dude's career that is like, it's super interesting. And it's not just your random, like, you know, kind of simple. He didn't make it in the NBA, and there was a career peak and then a career decline. Like, there's just a lot that happened.
Yeah, no,
he had a lot of drama around him.
It was complicated. Like OJ Mayo, the OJ Mayo story is not the Hasheem Thabeet story.
No.
It was they blew that draft pick.
No,
like,
it is
there's
not.
There's a lot more there than that, you know? It ended up being good enough, right? You know, he is on this list of greatest Grizzlies, you know, as I put out in the story. Like, Hasheem Thabeet's not. Chandler Parsons is not. The OJ Mayo thing was complicated. It wasn't like an obvious mistake.
Yep. I mean, I still remember this. I can't remember the game that it was in the playoff game, but it was a Darrell Arthur, I think, block, and then he threw the alley-oop to Arthur on the on the break. Like, I remember that till the day I die. You wrote about that moment?
Yeah, I wrote about that very play, because I did Darrell Arthur a few weeks ago earlier in the countdown, and I focused on that game and specifically that play. And the video of that play is actually in the Darrell Arthur part of the series. But yeah, OJ Mayo was on the giving end of like that, which is one of the greatest plays in the franchise.
I was at that game in the building. I don't know that I've ever been in a louder arena than that moment. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in person. It was incredible.
Yeah, Jeff, no, I mean, that
I think
game,
Chris, didn't you write about it? It's Darrell Arthur's like 13 minute stretch. There's like some of the peak basketball we've ever seen.
If you go back and watch it, he dominates the game, a playoff game against the Spurs, like a long stretch, because it's every possession alternating. He's blowing up a big, hitting a mid-range jumper. He's blocking a shot. He's dunking the ball. He's blowing up another pick and roll. He's finding Tony Allen on the cut. both ends of the floor. Darrell Arthur did. Yeah.
Man, truly incredible. All right, Chris, one more and I'll get you out of here. And this is completely unrelated to anything we've talked about today, but Jeffrey and I were talking about it in the break. And because you have a guy who has been around in and around music and a music critic as a job, I would like your opinion on this. In live shows for bands, are you pro or anti-encore?
I am. My wife is very anti-encore, and she's always wanting to leave. I am pro encore with some parameters.
Okay.
One, don't start the show super late.
Oh, got it.
Like,
yeah.
Memphis club shows used to be notorious about this. It's like a 3-band bill, and the first band's coming on at 10:30.
Tell
like,
me about it.
No. That's a no for me, dog.
Tell me about
so it. If your encore is like, you know, you're finishing your set at like 11 and like you're going to do an encore, like I can live with that.
All right.
And like, don't take a lot of time. Like we all know the encore is coming. It's planned. You've got it written down on your set list.
Right.
We're not trying to lure you back out with our applause. It's all BS and we're all participating in it. And that's fine. Go get a swig of water, take a breath, come back out and play your 3 songs and let's go home.
That is the planned encore is my stance against encores. I do not like encores. I don't like playing encores. We did them for a minute because that's what everybody did. And I was like, this is stupid.
Right.
Let's just play our show.
It is.
We're going to play our best song. So let's just go ahead and give them everything we got. And then the show's over. Like, you know, we gave you everything. We don't have to play this stupid game where we're like pretending we're not going to come back out and play our best song.
Yeah. Let me put a finer point on it. It's not that I am pro encore. It's that I accept the encore, the whole encore charade, as long as it's done in a certain way. I am totally fine with your approach. Like, this is the show. The show is over. Turn on the lights. Everybody go home.
Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. All right, Chris, we'll let you get out of here. Have a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us today. That's Chris Harrington, everybody. Hit that applause, right, Jeffrey. I love it. See, we know what we're talking about.
At the music fest where the power went out on you.
Yeah.
Because that was just a torrential downpour
it
day.
It was.
Mike Hemm was the headliner.
Yep.
That night.
Yep.
And it was a laugh out loud funny moment because they're getting ready to go, because I think they hadn't played. They did play Helena and then I'm Not Okay. So like they played their biggest hits already.
Sure.
But they were getting ready to go back and play their encore. And this just giant bolt of lightning just comes like bolting down. And I watched Gerard Way just go, nope. And do the, he just did like a quick 180 and they went straight to the bus.
Yeah. No.
He was like,
Don't want to do that. I there have been moments where there have been authentic, genuine, one more song encores that we've gone, you know, all right, let's go back out and we'll just play a cover. We'll play one more and play a cover. But there is rarely a time where I am planning on an encore. I'm giving you the show and if for some reason the sound guy fails to turn on the house music and there's becomes a like legitimate one more song thing, you're probably just going to get like a fun cover.
Yeah. I do think Chris brings up a good point. It also depends on, all right,
what time it is
and how long they played.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like does a band that like plays a 3 hours, like, did I really, saw the Eagles at the Hollywood Bowl kind of like at the end where it was still Fry. It was still Fry. It was still Henley,
yep.
Schmidt, and Walsh.
Whew.
They played for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I did not necessarily need an encore after that. Like, they played everything.
If you're playing a 60-minute headlining set, you can probably do an encore.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll have Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian. He's going to talk about Memphis stuff. And
maybe some AFC East.
And maybe some AFC East. I'm most likely, as far as what I have written down to ask him about, it has stuff to do with the AFC East. Nothing to do with Memphis. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show. I'm J.R. Moore filling in. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I like that bump music. That's nice.
It's Sam's go-to.
Sam's go-to. I like it. Well, joining us on the show right now from the Daily Memphian is the one and only Sam Hardiman. How you doing, Sam?
Good, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I was really hoping that I was going to be able to when you came on. I was going to be able to give you grief about, like, Drake May still not throwing over 300 yards and that old man Rivers might have actually outperformed him, except
the second half happened.
The second half happened. And Drake May had his highest passing total of his career.
And maybe the throw of the year.
Yeah. And so now I have nothing. I have nothing. It's got to be odd. I don't know what the odds of this are that you're a Patriots guy and Calkins is a Bills guy, and this is all happening in Memphis, and that I'm a Dolphins guy, and yet here I am still sitting at
George
the bottom
the
of the
Jets
pile.
Guy.
And George the Jets guy. Like, what is happening? Do you ever feel guilty that you didn't have to go through 25 years of rebuilding before being good again?
No. Why would I? Why would I like spend time and bring those negative emotions into my life for something I have no control over?
Well, he actually is going through it, and he's just ignoring it. The Bruins are doing kind of a rebuild thing, and he's just acting like it's not happening.
Yeah, but nobody below the Mason-Dixon line cares about
hockey. But he played hockey. He loves hockey.
Oh, well, there we go.
Oh, hockey guy. Like, I do care. I mean, we got beat pretty bad by the Canadians last night. The Bruins, 6-2. You know, like, out of the last four games, we've gotten blown out 3-plus goals, I think, in five of them. I mean, five. And so it's not great. But, like, it's okay. Like, I'm just accepting it. I'm moving on.
That's because the Patriots are winning.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, as a Dolphins fan, like, what is your happiness level?
It's apathy. I can't, like, I had to stop. I had to, like, really stop caring. Or, like, and people, there were, you know, a couple years ago when they lost to Kansas City.
In the cold.
That was a pretty good year. And people were like, dude, are you stoked about the Dolphins? And I'm like, dude, I see right through this. I'm not at all excited about this. And what I do feel guilty is that I'm bringing my son into the world as a Dolphins fan. I just feel like at some point it has to turn around. When I became a Dolphins fan, they were one of the best franchises in the history of the NFL. And we had Dan Marino, so they were fun, had cool uniforms and cool colors. And I was like, this is It's like pulling for Alabama football. Like I was rooting for one of the most storied franchises in the league, and then since 1998, it's been nothing but misery. And you got to think at some point it has to turn around. And I thought at least the Patriots are going to suck for a minute, and then you don't. And I don't know what to do.
I mean, can I ask you like a philosophical question?
Sure.
So of all of like the two groups of mammals here, all the world's collective dolphins, okay, which are very, very smart creatures.
Yes.
And then all of the Miami Dolphins fans in the world.
Yep.
What group of mammals is collectively happier?
Oh, the ones living in the water. Absolutely the ones living in the water. I think that It's people just have to just shut down emotionally when it comes to the actual football team. You can't get that worked up over it because we're still stuck in the land of like still looking for a quarterback, and now we're stuck paying a guy $50 million over the next 3 years who we just benched, and they've been looking for somebody to be a quarterback since Dan Marino. Like it's incredible that they can't. All these quarterbacks have come and gone. They've had the option to choose some. However, what they do is end up winning just enough games to be mediocre to get a middle of the draft or pick.
The 10th pick isn't bad. The 10th pick isn't horrible.
It isn't horrible.
Our tankathon.
I mean, you can say it's not horrible. It depends on who is owning the pick, and the Dolphins have historically not made good ones there.
Like the problem is, like what you just described was the Bills' existence basically for. Jim Kelly, when that run finally ends, like you have the little bit of time with Rob Johnson and Flutie, but for the most part, you know, just the entire 2000s is just miserable.
Yep.
But it was a lot of 7-9s.
It was so many.
It was a lot of, but it wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like they were irrelevant, but they weren't like horrible.
Right.
And then it just comes down to like, you just have to, like they get Josh Allen.
You've just got to get the guy.
In this draft, I don't even know who's coming out.
No. And then there's no clear picture of who that is.
So, like, Fernando Mendoza is going to be the first pick. The Dolphins are probably not going to move up and do that.
No, they're not.
And so it's like, do you sit it out again this year and pray that next year all those guys go out? Because I do think
Quinn Ewers, yeah. Like, that's what you do next year.
Yeah, like, see if Quinn, like, you play Quinn either – he ends up being good or you lose a bunch of games and you get the picks because next year, potentially, like I think Saiyan's really good.
Yeah.
I think Arch is weirdly. I think we've swung way too far on Arch.
Yes. There was too much hype on him.
Correct. But I think Dante Moore could end up being really good. And so like the next year's crop could wind up being a deeper class to where you don't have to have the number one pick.
Dante Moore is coming out this year, though. He's already plus 275 to be the number one overall pick this year.
I think if you made me guess today, he's going to take like $6 million, $7 million to stay at Oregon.
It's hard to turn that down.
Like, we're now at the point where to be the number one pick, I think he'd make around 10 or 11. So it's obviously more money.
Yeah.
But he's going to be sniffing what the number one pick would be making in college.
Sure, but it's also probably situation dependent, right?
Like, yes, I think everybody looks at the teams right now that are at the top of the draft or the teams that are quarterback needy, and everybody's like, I don't want to go there.
That makes a big difference. What's crazy is now as a college football player, you can make that choice because you can make money if you just stay for one more year. So you're not just you can still work your way around the draft of who you do and don't want to go to.
Yes,
and you have have sort of a revenue option.
Like, do you really want to go to, like, what? The Giants are probably moving out. The Browns.
Well, they don't need a quarterback.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So they probably want to move down. Do you really want to go to the Browns? Do you really want to go to the Raiders? Like, the Jets?
Man.
I wouldn't hate the Browns, to be honest. Like, I know that they've, like, got, like, toxic quarterback, like, reality show going on. But at the same time, like, there's infrastructure there. You got the best defensive player in football.
I do think the most miserable players in the NFL have to be
good.
It has to be the Browns defense, right?
Yeah, oh, gosh.
Because you are legitimately a great operation, and then you look onto the other side of the ball.
The Browns defense has to look at this like, hey, remember when Trent Dilfer was the quarterback for the Ravens, and that they were good enough to let the defense win it for them. Can't y'all just be good enough, like barely acceptable, so that we can win this for us? And their offense is so bad they can't even get to that. That's got to be miserable. What has happened to the Raiders? Why are the Raiders this bad for so long?
Ownership, right?
I don't.
Yeah, it's ownership. I mean, now are they gonna? You know, is 85-year-old Pete Carroll? I know he's not that old, but like 85-year-old Pete Carroll, is he really gonna spend 5-6 years there building? Because if they build, then they'll be good. But if not, then they're just gonna keep doing this.
I mean, that is also a storied franchise.
I think also with the Raiders, sometimes the simplest football explanation is actually right. It is truly an example of if you cannot block anybody, you can't play football.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess. Mark Davis is no Al Davis.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so. And they've gotten no quarterback luck, but I mean,
look, Derek Carr was not like some awesome quarterback, but he wasn't bad. You should have been able to win with him.
I always kind of had the Derek Carr gene.
Yeah.
I think he was better than reputation was.
But I agree.
I also wonder, are either of you a little concerned if the Jets actually see it through and they really are committed to doing it like Detroit did? Does that concern either of you at all?
Yes, it does. But Woody Johnson remains kind of an idiot.
Yeah, that's.
Right?
I think that's so in the back of your head. You always just got to get, they still got Woody.
They still got Woody. Yeah, and like, if they don't draft a quarterback and and still run with Justin Fields, I'm not worried about it.
Let's not talk trash on Mizzou great Brady Cook. Let's not talk trash. He's great.
I just need him to throw it to A.D. Mitchell this weekend. That's it.
That's all.
Speaking of fantasy football, speaking of your Dolphins too, I had a guy that was playing in the semifinals this weekend, and I won because the kid Galaxy Brain himself and sat Matthew Stafford.
Oh, I did it.
In favor of Kim Ewers.
Wow.
Oh, I got one better. I sat Matthew Stafford in favor of Jackson Dart.
Woo!
For those that were not watching, yeah. Jackson Dart did not complete a pass until 1:43 was remaining in the first half. It was a pass for 3 yards. There were 35 mile hour winds in Seattle.
Jeffrey and I texted earlier before, like over the weekend. Who's a more miserable fan base? Giants fans or Dolphins fans? And I say Dolphins fans because Giants have won 2 Super Bowls this century. And the Dolphins have won 1 playoff game this century.
So
yeah, it's not close, Jeffrey.
I thought it was this decade.
Century.
No. I'm saying this decade. Thing is, if you cut it off from 2011, there has been 2 playoff appearances.
Yeah.
There has been 1 playoff win. But it has basically been multiple years of top 5 picks.
Sure.
And this year is just even worse.
There have been playoff appearances for the Dolphins, 0 playoff wins. They haven't had a playoff win since the year 2000. They haven't won a playoff game since the year 2000. My man.
You've had more Sundays that you've gone into thinking your team could win.
This is true.
I have more Sundays where, you know what the best Sunday is? When the Giants don't play.
Yeah. Let me take it back. I haven't gone into more Sundays thinking they can win only before the month of November. Because once it hits November, they start playing a road games in Foxborough and New York and Buffalo. They ain't built for that. That's done.
Which I kind of respect.
It's in the blood, too, because it's not just this version of Dolphins teams. It's previous ones, too.
It's tough to go live in Miami and be like, you know what I want to do? I want to go hit somebody in the freaking freezing cold.
That's true. Do you just get used to it living up there that like hard physical contact against other humans doesn't bother you as much because you do it often?
Well, I mean, I personally did not do it often. I mean, I played hockey. Like, that was just cold, but you're actually pretty warm in your equipment.
Oh,
but,
sure.
Yeah, it's no. I mean, you just get used to the cold. You wear layers. Like, the thing, and I'm not trying to rag on Southerners here. I don't want to be the Yankee carpetbaggers, you know, saying things.
Sam absolutely melts in the heat.
That's not true, Jeff.
You melt.
I don't melt. But
he has more, he's got more, he'll come in with, like, a brimmed hat. Like, everything. He's got to make sure there's no inch of him that's, like, can get, like, sweat. It's awful.
Brimmed hat.
We played golf one time, and I wore a floppy hat, and then you're getting a sample. Mm-hmm.
Had an umbrella.
Yeah, umbrella.
There was no umbrella. There was not an umbrella. I'm just saying this about Southerners. Like, what I like always see with people is you wear a winter coat and then there's a t-shirt underneath. That's not going to keep you warm.
Not this Southerner. The problem for me is once my toe gets cold, like it, I wear all the layers. Like, I'm in North Face with liners, everything, thermals. Once my toe gets cold, it's over.
Like, don't.
What do you got? Like, no socks.
No, I wear wool. I wear like the wool, like ski socks.
So there have got to be people. It's not just like people who play and work for the Dolphins are all from Miami. They're from all over the world. Don't we have the way you say that, Sam? It seems so easy. Don't they have people who work for them who can properly dress and put equipment on the players and the coaches? Like, nobody looks more miserable in a cold weather game than Mike McDaniel.
Well, I almost wonder if that's related. Like, in the end, that's the head coach.
Yes, he looks like he can't wait to leave.
Correct.
And so if he can't wait to
Andy Reid just puts like the puffy jacket on.
And his mustache is frozen.
Yes.
Yes. Like,
Andy's got a lot of natural insulation.
He does, but he's also from L.A.
That's true. That's true. I just feel like certainly they can put clothes on these dudes to where they don't feel as cold.
Or look as cold.
I think the problem with McDaniel is,
and then McDaniel tries to go the other direction. I'm like, it's not cold.
Yeah.
It's not cold. It's not cold.
Dude.
He's wearing like capris out there. Yeah.
He looks so miserable.
He looks like I would.
Yes. He looks miserable. And you see every other coach looks like they're just like, I'm battling it through it with the players. Not him.
Except for that guy on the Bills that wears legitimately like an Eskimo jacket underneath it.
Hey.
Like, I was like, that's my hero.
He's warm. I bet he's warm. Sam, this is a question because I just dealt with this because like I was saying a couple years ago when the Dolphins had a good record, but everybody called them fraudulent. Do you think this year's Patriots, like, are they too young? Are they a benefit of the record, or do you think they're going to make some noise in the playoffs?
I think they got a chance to make some noise. The second half the other night was what proved it to me. If they lost that game, I was going to think they were pretty fraudulent.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I want to say I'm pulling for you. I'm pulling for you personally, but not for your team. and not for anybody else who's a Patriots fan. I want you to be happy, but nobody else. That's Sam Hardiman. Thanks for joining us, Sam. I had so many other questions about Memphis and stuff going on. We just ended up talking AFC East. Okay. So
it is a sports show.
All of you NFC South fans, sorry. We regionally did it not to this region.
Like, the Saints are bad. Like,
Saints are bad.
Like,
I'm sure there's an NFC. There's some Cowboys fans around here. They'll be like, why don't y'all talk to Cowboys?
Do we really want? That means eventually we're going to have to talk about, I don't think the Eagles are broken.
No. I'll believe it when I see them lose. When I see them lose in the playoffs, I'll believe it. All right, everybody, that's going to be it for me. Whenever this show goes back to local next week, I guess it is, Jeff will be back.
On Monday.
Jeff will be back on Monday. I had a pleasure. Thanks, Brad, wherever Brad is. I hope he's listening. Thanks for having me fill in again. Jeffrey, thanks for hanging out and letting me hang out with you for a couple hours.
Pleasure to be with you, my man.
I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show. Oh, wait, we didn't know what's coming on next. Can you tell me?
The Rich Eisen Show will be coming up next, and after that, Jeffrey Wright and company will be live, as will the Gabe Kuhn Show, so stick around. We'll be
Jeffrey
back live at 2.
Jeffrey Wright, the hardest working guy at
92.9. No,
Jeffrey Wright, the second hardest working guy at 92.9. I love it. Thank you guys for letting me hang out with you. My name is Jerry Moore. You're listening to Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.